I'm going to be talking about the koan of anger. And just for the sake of new people, I thought I'd just mention that what we work on with our training is the greed, anger, and delusion, the aspects of the self that cause suffering. And in describing what they are, most of you have probably heard the story of the fox and the grapes, I'm sure, but I don't mind hearing it again, so I hope you don't mind. The way that I've heard greed, anger, and delusion described, which I think explains it very well, is that there is a fox who's walking along very content, and suddenly he sees these grapes in a tree, or whatever they grow on, and he wants them, and that's his greed arising, and he really wants them, and he tries to get them, but they're just out of his grasp, and then he becomes angry because he really wants them and he can't get it. And then he says, well, gee, I really didn't want the grapes anyway. And that's delusion. When you feel angry and you don't know how to deal with it, and you just say, I don't care. So those are the three aspects of the self. And today I'm going to be talking about the koan of anger. And koan is a problem that we have, something we're working on, something we need to sit with, to meditate with. I'm also working on the koan of fear at this moment. Please bear with me. Okay, I first of all wanted to read the precept on do not be angry. There is no retiring, no going, no truth, no lie. There is a brilliant sea of clouds. There is a dignified sea of clouds. Just there is that going on which causes us to see unclearly. But if we truly look, if we look with care, we will see that the true and beautiful sky is shining behind the clouds. We may see the Lord of the house. No matter how angry the person is who is with us, we may see in him too, the Lord, if we are truly looking. If our own ego is out of the way, and in seeing the Lord in him, he can see the Lord in us. The depth of the ocean is still, even when there is a great storm upon its surface. Thus should we be when there is anger, knowing that nothing whatsoever can touch the truth. So as Buddhists, we are trying to keep the precepts. And the precept is telling us The precepts are a guideline for Buddhists. They are a guideline on how not to create suffering. So the precept of anger is telling us that if we get angry, we will create suffering. And it's telling us that if we control anger, that we will not be creating suffering. So all of you except new people have heard about the precepts. And when you hear this and you want to keep the precepts, and many of you have done Jukai, you do not want to get angry. And the way you can handle that is, okay, I'm not supposed to be angry. I'm not supposed to be an angry person because that breaks the precepts. So the first thing you do is you try not to be angry. You avoid situations perhaps where anger will arise. You avoid people. You brace yourself in situations where you might get angry. You gloss it over like the fox. I didn't care anyway. So that is one thing that you think will help, is to cut off the angry so you aren't getting angry. Another thing is who get angry. I mean, this is another way you can respond is, well, what I used to do is go around slamming doors when I first came here. That was my way of dealing with my anger. And one time I had a window in my door. I actually broke the window. And I think that may have been the last time I slammed a door because I spent 3 days repairing the window. Once, to help with the anger, I woke up in the middle of the night really angry, and I imagined breaking every glass in the house, and I went through, throwing each one down in my mind. And when I'd done all that, the anger was gone. So these are kind of the ways that I dealt with anger at first, by just, you know, taking my frustration out on inanimate objects. Sometimes we do get angry. We mull it over and over in our minds. We call someone and complain about the situation or the person. And these are many different ways that we try and handle the situation. Or what we can do is meditate with it. And the first thing that you have to do when you want to convert anger is to allow it to arise. And I think this is a mistake that, from what I've heard from people, that many people make, is that they don't just allow it to arise. And I think part of it is because anger is so compelling. When anger arises, I know for myself, when anger arises, it has such a force to it that you feel like you have to go with it. And it's very hard to sit with it, with the discomfort of anger, without acting on it. Or we really feel that it is wrong and bad to be an angry person, to have anger arise. We have this idea of ourselves that we want to be a kind. We all have different things about ourselves that we want to feel that we are. And anger is generally not one of them. So when you see anger arising, you want to push it away, deny it, justify it. And so the first thing, in order to deal with a koan of anger, is to allow it to arise without adding to it. And so in meditation, you just let it arise. When all the thoughts come up that you want to mull it over, figure it out, I know this happens for me, all kinds of things come in, you just sit with it. You sit with whatever's arising. And it also means sitting, allowing it to arise, the anger, sitting with what is underneath the pain of the anger, and allowing it to go. I think one of the hardest things with anger is not holding on to it once it's come up, to let it go and just see what happens when you let it go. For myself, I have found that anger, a lot of the time, is not just something on its own, that there is a reason for the anger arising. When I first came here, well, after I'd been here a monk for a while, you know, I became very painfully aware of my anger. And I remember asking one time, please help me, what is the cause of my anger in my meditation? And the answer that came up was fear of being judged. So for me, that was one aspect of why I got angry. I also often got the message in my meditation to do not give in to the anger, sit with the pain. So I know for myself there is a lot of pain underneath the anger, and that what I've been asked to do all through my throughout my training is to not get angry but sit with the pain. And I think for everyone there is there are probably different reasons why you get angry, or why you feel anger arise. I have listed some of the things I could think of, and I'm sure there are many more. One is just plain physical. When you're tired, I know for myself when I'm tired there's much more of a tendency to actually feel angry and to get angry. If you're in a lot of pain, and I know when I'm tired and suddenly there's anger there, I know that I have to be very careful and realize that it's because I'm tired and just stay with, you know, allow it to be there but not act on it. It can be karma arising. A lot of anger can just be because you're meditating, this anger from the past is being allowed to come up. And just allowing it to be there without acting on it just allows it to come, allows it to be embraced, and allows it to go. Also, anger can arise from a situation stirring up something from the past. Things that have happened to us before that were made us suffer and made us unhappy. And when something stirs that up at this time, suddenly there's anger and you don't see the connection. But it can be really from old karma. The self is threatened in some way. Losing something, losing life, losing a job, in some way it feels threatened and is trying to protect itself. And this is one everybody knows, not getting what one wants or getting what one doesn't want. Feeling like someone has power over you, a feeling of helplessness or vulnerability. Here's something that brings up anger in me. Not acting from your own instincts because the situation is difficult. You know that you get a sense that it's right to do something, but you don't act on that. Mm-hmm. And instead of looking clearly at what you have done, you're really angry for somebody putting you in that situation. Mm-hmm. Injustice in the world. Injustice to ourselves. Things aren't fair. People acting in a way that we don't like or don't think is good. And it can just be a habit that we've gotten ourselves into. I can sometimes go around and everything makes me angry. And as one of the monks used to say, it's anger looking for a home. It's just some anger that hasn't been, you know, really looked at and dealt with. And it's just everything. Why did they walk right in front of me? Why did they? Just anything. Very silly things. And there can be anger if you're not careful. Somebody says something to you that hits too close to home. Stress, worry, not liking oneself. I know these are all things. You must think I walk around angry all the time with all these things that I know about. But I actually have worked on it, and I'm actually doing a lot better than I was. Anger is not bad. It does not make you a bad person. If held on to or acted upon, it creates suffering. what we need to do is really turn the stream of compassion within and allow the anger to be there without judgment. Be compassionate to our anger, because it comes from somewhere and it's something that is hurting inside. I realized that the reason I was so angry when I first came here was because there was so much pain inside. And the way I had learned to deal with pain was anger. That was my way of shutting out pain. So be compassionate to the anger within you. And don't judge it. It also, I have found, it hardens us and closes our heart when we give in to anger. It makes things unclear. I remember there was this book that we read a while ago, And There Is Light. And it was about a young man who had become blinded at an early age by an accident. And he learned to look within himself. And he found that he could see things in a different way outwardly within the blindness by looking within himself. And he also found that there was something that was teaching him how not to act on these very things that we're talking about, on anger, on really the precepts. And what would happen to him when he went against his true nature was everything would become dark and he could no longer see. And he couldn't see, really literally see what he was doing. And I find that that's what happens with me, and I'm sure it happens with other people, is you cannot see. You're so blinded by your anger that you cannot see what is good to do. Or I find that I can't even function, really, because the anger is so harmful and so blocking out the true nature. I'm glad I can put notes in here. How does anger manifest itself? Well, the most obvious one is feeling angry and getting angry. Another one is repressing it until we just burst out with anger. Going from repressing it to really, really exploding. And it's because when we repress the anger, we do not deal with it. We are not dealing with the cause of the anger, so it is just sitting there dormant, and suddenly it becomes too much, and it explodes. We show it in irritation, in judging others, criticizing others, judging ourselves and criticizing ourselves, in a coldness, cynicism, impatience, blaming others and circumstances. And I have also found with myself that if a situation in the past has really created anger in myself, and even though the situation isn't there anymore, because I haven't, again, I think I mentioned this, but because I haven't really sat with the underlying cause, I know if somebody brings it up, suddenly I'm just as angry as I was then. It's because it hasn't been cleansed. It hasn't been allowed to heal. And sometimes I also, again, when I haven't dealt with something, but I don't think I'm angry, suddenly I find myself being very, very negative. And then I say, wait a minute, what am I doing? There's something going on here. So it doesn't always come out in anger, but it can come out in different ways. And just being impatient is a way of being angry. And in working on this class and looking at my own anger, I become very sensitive to other people's anger and the little ways that it shows. When they're not actually getting angry and they're not even doing anything, but you can sense just in the way they respond to you that there's some stress or anger in there. Okay, what is the cure? Well, the first thing is what I mentioned before, allowing it to arise without judgment. Being compassionate to yourself. Seeing that we all do make mistakes and do get angry at times. This does not make us a bad person. Now, sitting still with the anger, I think there can be a misconception of what that means. It does not mean that you are sitting peaceful, that you are feeling stillness and peace, and the anger is just marching by and you're watching it. Because I think very often we feel like we're not sitting with the anger when we actually are. When we sit with the anger, we feel it. And it can be very uncomfortable. And it does not feel peaceful or still. But it does help to do that. And to allow all the stuff that's going on to arise and not act on it. I remember once in the ceremony hall, I did the Fudo ceremony, which once a senior priest does every night to ask for the protection of Fudo or Chalanatha, which is what we call it now, and to also ask for the help to be still. A Chalanatha represents sitting still, being unmovable within our greed, hate, and delusion. And I remember doing this ceremony and feeling fine. And as I walked outside, I felt this intense anger. And it was directed at something that was bothering me. And it just came out of nowhere. And the whole time I was doing the round of the monastery, which we do to bless the monastery, this intense anger was going on. And when I finished the round, it was gone. And I think because I was being still during the ceremony, it allowed the anger to arise. And because I didn't act on it, I just allowed it to arise, it went. So anger can go. It doesn't have to be acted on. When I was reading about the cure, I looked in a lot of different books where it talked about the cure for anger, and it said patience. Mm-hmm. And the way, in preparing this class, the way I've come to understand that is that anger can have an urgency about it, that we have got to act on this now. We feel very concerned about a situation and we've got to remedy it. And this is where patience comes in. This is where if you are angry about something, be patient. Don't act until the anger has subsided. You do not see clearly when you're angry. You may think you see clearly, but you do not. It may seem like something is good to do, but once the anger has subsided, you realize, boy, that was not good to do. Even though you think you're acting calmly and wisely, Reverend Master Jiyu used to remember her saying once that she has had to do some correspondence in which something has really made her angry, and she will write the letter and say exactly what she wants to say, and then she'll put it aside for 24 to 48 hours and not do anything until the anger has subsided. And then she'll look at the letter again to see what's good to do, and I think she said she never has sent those letters. And she may have acted in some way, but at that point it would have been not from anger. It would be from what is good to do. And meditating with anger does not mean that we don't move, that we don't act. In fact, becoming angry about something may be a clue that something is not right with the situation and that you do have to act. But don't act when you're angry. Or if you do act when you're angry, if you feel you have to, realize that, you know, just do the best you can and try not to have it be from the anger. But if you can wait, wait until it subsides, because you will create karma for yourself and others. And you will have turned your heart away from the unborn. You can always turn back, but in the turning back, there are the consequences of your anger. And you will need to live with those, and they will dissipate in time, unless you've done something really bad. I just wanted to mention some aspects of anger that I've worked on, and I don't know if this will be true for any of you, but a situation will arise and I'll try meditating with it and it'll be really irritating, and eventually something will say, I can't bear this anymore, I don't care what the consequences are. And I remember this situation very clearly because I was sleeping, making all that scratching sound, and that can be very irritating. And I said, okay, I'm going to sit with this. I'm going to really try and meditate with this. And it went on and on and on. And I pounded on my wall, which is okay, you know, if you don't are angry about it, if you just pound on the wall to try and get them to leave, I thought that was okay. And they didn't leave. And they didn't stop. So I said, again, this thing came up. This is how the koan arises for me. I don't care. I can't take it anymore. And I got out a broom, and I started hitting the wall with the broom. I thought, you know, a really loud sound would get them to leave. And then and then I went back to bed, and I think I did manage to get them to leave, or to quiet down. When I woke up in the morning, I saw all these holes in my wall. And I felt really awful, because this is an Abbey room. It's not, you know, my room. It's really an Abbey possession, and I had damaged Abbey, you know, Abbey property, and I just felt horrible. And I spent a long time repairing those walls. So now when that familiar thing comes up, I can't bear it. I do try to bear it. Because I have always found when I give into this, which I have done, that the results are not good. And you really create karma for yourself, and you can create karma, you know, you can hurt others as well. And also, the other aspect of it is that sitting with anger really allows us to see the deeper aspects of our koan. It allows them to arise, whatever it is, the fear, the hurt, something from the past. It allows it to arise to be cleansed. And when we give in to the anger, we miss this opportunity. Reverend Master Jiyu, when she talks about her first Kensho and the wild white goose, it's the not giving in to anger that I believe allowed it to happen. Because she was in a situation where, you know, she'd done all this meditation and she was in a situation that really made her angry, and she used all her might to sit with it. And then she had her Kensho. Now, if she had given in to the anger at that point, who knows what would have happened. But we're also given opportunity after opportunity after opportunity. This is where we have to find compassion for ourselves. That this is a habit, this is old karma, it's been with us a long time, and we just need to work on it gradually and convert it gradually. But you are missing an opportunity when you give in to the anger. Okay, the next thing that helps is mindfulness. And the more that we do our formal meditation, the more we are mindful in our daily lives, the more we are in touch with our Buddha nature. And the more we are in touch with our Buddha nature, the more we can hear the teaching that is always being given to us. So that at times when you may feel like you're about to get angry, there very often is something inside you that is telling you otherwise. And there's just, I found for myself, there's always that moment of choice where you can control it or give into it. And the controlling it really, really helps. I actually have a story that I was going to read to you. I have a few stories. This is called A Monk and the Tree Spirit. It's from the Dhammapada, from the big book that has all the pictures in it. It starts off just talking about he who holds back arisen anger as one checks a whirling chariot, him I call a charioteer. Other folk only hold the reins. This is called A Monk and the Tree Spirit. Has anybody read this? Okay. Once a bhikkhu from Alavi wanted to build a hut for himself, so he started to cut down a tree. But the deva, who was dwelling in that tree with her infant son, urged him not to cut it down. The bhikkhu ignored her. Failing to stop him, she put her son on a branch, hoping that this would stop him from cutting the tree. By then, he was already swinging his axe, and he could not stop it in time, and unintentionally cut off the arm of the child. Seeing her child being harmed in this way, the mother flew into a rage and was about to kill the bhikkhu. As she raised her hands to strike him, she suddenly checked herself and reflected, "If I were to kill a bhikkhu, I would be killing one who is observing precepts. In that case, I would surely suffer. This might set an example for other bhikkhus to be killed also. But this bhikkhu has a master. I must go and see his master." So she went weeping to the Buddha and related all that had happened. The Buddha said to her, "O Devata, you have done well to control yourself." He then expounded the Dhamma to her. Reflecting mindfully on the admonition, the deva realized the Dhamma, and for her dwelling place she was offered a tree near the Jetavana monastery. After this incident, the Buddha advised the bhikkhus to avoid destroying plant life. So good came of her not getting angry. And, you know, a mother seeing her child hurt is probably one of the worst things. One of the things that can really bring on rage, and yet something in her said to control it and go seek help. So surely if she can do that, we can do it too. I can do it too. Mindfulness also allows us to see anger as it's arising, to not be caught off guard. If we're just going about our lives without being mindful, it can suddenly just appear out of nowhere. But if we're actually being aware of what we're doing, being mindful, we can catch it early. Somebody mentioned the other night that the Dalai Lama was asked, "Do you get angry?" And he said, "Yes." And the person asked him, "What do you do with it?" And he said, "I watch it come and I watch it go." Now I would say that is a wonderful way of dealing with anger. Some of us haven't reached that point yet, so we do the best we can. All acceptance. I think this is a main key to dealing with anger. The acceptance of the situation. The acceptance of not getting what we want. The acceptance of the pain that is arising. The acceptance of the world as it is. The acceptance that there is anger in us. Because there is something more than what is going on in the world. There is a bigger picture than we are seeing. And it really does help with the cessation of suffering to not get angry. I know there is more I could say about all acceptance, but I don't think anything is coming to me, so maybe you will have some questions when I finish. But there's something else. You can see I've been looking through a lot of books. Something else I came across which I like. This is in What the Buddha Taught, and it's talking about the first noble truth, which is the truth of suffering. This does not at all make the life of a Buddhist melancholy or sorrowful, as some people wrongly imagine. On the contrary, a true Buddhist is the happiest of beings. He has no fears or anxieties. He is always calm and serene and cannot be upset or dismayed by changes or calamities, because he sees things as they are. The Buddha was never melancholy or gloomy. He was described by his contemporaries as ever smiling. In Buddhist painting and sculptures, the Buddha is always represented with a countenance happy, serene, contented, and compassionate. Never a trace of suffering or agony or pain is to be seen. Although there is suffering in life, a Buddhist should not be gloomy over it, should not be angry or impatient at it. One of the principal evils in life, according to Buddhism, is repugnance or hatred. Repugnance is explained as ill will with regard to living beings, with regard to suffering, and with regard to things pertaining to suffering. Its function is to produce a basis for unhappy states and bad conduct. Thus, it is wrong to be impatient at suffering. Being impatient or angry at suffering does not remove it. On the contrary, it adds a little more to one's troubles and aggravates and exacerbates a situation already disagreeable. What is necessary is not anger or impatience, but the understanding of the question of suffering, how it comes about, and how to get rid of it, and then to work accordingly with patience, intelligence, determination, and energy. Now, this does not mean a Buddhist does not feel grief and sorrow at what is going on in the world with other people who are suffering, but you don't dwell on it. And you work on your own greed, hate, and delusion. Because again, as Reverend Master Jiyu said in The Wild White Goose, cruelty exists because because of people like me. There's cruelty in me just as much as there's cruelty in other, in Hitler, in other beings who are doing a lot of harm. When we see that we have the potential to do harm, we can be more sympathetic to others who are causing harm. But we also know the way to cease from doing this. And we know that we can work on it. We can be compassionate to ourselves. And we can allow allow it to arise and allow it to pass. I hope I'm not saying too much, but I do know a lot about it. Someone told me once to start working on your anger by working on the little angers that arise and breaking the habit of getting angry at things. And as I was typing up this class on the computer around about 5 o'clock, being late for dinner and trying to get it done quickly, the computer suddenly froze, and fortunately I had saved it. I just saved it. But that meant that I was delayed in time by having to shut off the computer, turn it back on again, start PageMaker again. And because I'm typing this thing on anger, I did not get angry. But there is the great potential to get angry in that situation. But working on these little angers is what really helps us. Irritations when we're driving, somebody pulls into the lane right in front of us. there are just so many little things that come up that we have the choice of whether we allow them to come and allow them to go, or we just react to them. Oh, these are just little angers. This is no big deal. If I get angry when the computer doesn't do what I want it to do. But this is where you start working on it. Breaking the habit of always getting angry. It really allows your heart to be, to open and become gentle. Of letting go, letting go, letting go of the anger. Now believe me, I know that this is not easy. But I am starting to see that at each point I have a choice, that it's really up to me. I have a wonderful story, which I'll end with, and then hopefully we'll have time for questions. A nice monk brought me this story a number of years ago when I was having some problems with anger. And it really shows you the result of going on and on and on with your anger and allowing it to fester and grow. It's called a model demon. Michizo led the life of a wandering hermit in the Omin Mountains. One day on a remote trail, he met a 7-foot-tall, dark blue demon with red hair like flames, a slender neck, a grossly protruding breastbone, a swollen belly, and skinny shanks. The demon turned to Nichizo beseechingly and began to weep. Nichizo asked it how it had gotten that way. 400 or 500 years ago I was a man, the demon sobbed. But then my grudge against someone I hated made me like this. Yes, I murdered him and his sons and his grandsons, his great-grandsons and his great-great-grandsons too. And now there's no one left for me to kill. If only I knew where they were reborn, I'd murder them all over again. My rage burns as fiercely as ever, but my enemy's descendants are gone. Now I'm alone with the pain of this fire that nothing will extinguish. If I'd never felt this way, I might even have been born into paradise, but hate has brought me an eternity of suffering. A grudge against someone else is like a grudge against yourself. I wish I'd known. I only wish I'd known. The demon's tears swelled to a flood as it spoke, and flames leaped from the top of its head. Suddenly it turned and fled further into the mountains. Nichiso felt sorry for it and prayed the best he knew how that it might suffer less. Now I would add here that he could extinguish the flames at that point. If you know, if he'd been given the teaching at that point, he could have let go of that anger. Even when we've given into anger over and over and over again, we can always stop and accept the karmic results of our anger and turn towards the Buddha. There is never a time when we cannot turn around.